Missed you all last week, and I'm glad Gerald was able to preach and begin our little three-week mini-series on prayer. It's good to be back. So I live in a house of persistent pleaders. And they try their darndest to wear me and their father down. And they each have their own requests. I won't rag on Finn, since he's in here listening. But with Eleanor, it's strawberries. And if she sees them in the pantry, it's fruit snacks. As for Asher, though, it's Go-Gurt. For those of you that are a little older, that's the yogurt in a tube, right? Personally, I think that's kind of disgusting. But he really loves those. Or applesauce. And the applesauce is on a high shelf in our pantry for good reason. But he will drag us in there and plead for another one, acting as if we are somehow tormenting him or ruining his life by not giving in. Mind you, he's already had like two Go-Gurts and two applesauces at this point. The kid is a bottomless pit. And this is a daily occurrence in our house. But I do admire their commitment to their cause. Although only in retrospect, because in the midst of one of those moments, I'm really just focused on, you know, being patient and not losing my cool. Because they really are relentless, to the point that sometimes they end up in timeout because they just won't cool it over getting another applesauce. And sometimes they get the best of us because we're worn down from a long day, or we just want them to eat something more. And so we give in to the third applesauce or the fourth. They've got us pretty well figured out. But I thought of my little persistent pleaders often this week as I pondered the widow and the judge. In the parable, Jesus says that the widow keeps coming to the judge. She's persistent in her efforts to see justice done, even though the judge is not someone who fears God, not someone who respects people. He seems uninterested in actual justice being carried out, nor does he seem to have any sympathy for this powerless woman before him. But she keeps coming. And eventually, like my little persistent pleaders, she wears him out. What the Greek actually says is that she gives him a black eye. I don't think literally she gives him a black eye, more of an expression, you know, of her relentless bothering. But he grows so tired of her annoying him with this request that he gives in just to be rid of her. And justice is done. Now, this is a fairly familiar parable in the church. It's not as common, of course, as, you know, the Good Samaritan or the mustard seed. But it's one that is well taught, or at least it is taught often. We were encouraged by the story to pray frequently, to be persistent in our requests to God, because the God we serve is not like the unjust judge, Jesus says. Rather, God grants justice swiftly to those who cry out day and night. At least that's what Jesus tells us. But life experience has made us question a few things in regards to this teaching. Because we all probably have a story or two of when justice didn't come swiftly, or when we didn't hear God answering our prayer so promptly, or answering it as we had desired God to answer it. So what then was the problem? Were we not persistent enough? Did we not nag God enough in our prayers to wear the divine down so as to take pity on us? Maybe we didn't have enough faith. That was definitely a classic teaching on this text. Or perhaps it is that God is not actually there listening to our prayers. When we look at the greater injustices in our world, some existing for centuries even, we begin to wonder, where, O God, is your swift justice? Are you even there? Many times our prayers are so dependent upon the result we want that when things don't proceed according to our will or our timeline, we doubt God and we doubt ourselves. But the purpose of this parable is not to resolve the great mystery of answered and unanswered prayers. Nor is it instructions for how to wear down God and get the result we want. Jesus is rather upfront with the disciples as he begins to tell the story. He says the parable is about our need to pray always and not to lose heart. The parable is about us. It's about our hearts. Jesus was preparing his disciples for a time in which he would no longer be with them physically. He was preparing them for how to live in this liminal time, this in-between time in which we still live today. He was preparing them for a time in which their resolve might dwindle, when they might begin to despair, when they might grow weary and tired, when they might begin to lose hope and lose heart. Keep praying, Jesus says. Be persistent. The truth is, our persistent prayers do not always change the unjust judges in this world, or at least not always in our time. But our persistent prayers, spoken and embodied, do change us. In a sermon on this parable, Barbara Brown Taylor writes of the marginalized, powerless widow, she was willing to say what she wanted, out loud, day and night, over and over, whether she got it or not, because saying it was how she remembered who she was. It was how she remembered the shape of her heart. She couldn't let go of who she was, of what she believed in, and of what she knew was just. And so she persisted. And I'd like to think she would have persisted as long as it took, if it ever took. Miguel de la Torre writes, "Do we fight for justice as did the widow because we know we are going to win? Or do we fight for justice regardless of the outcome for the sake of justice alone, even if we do not realize it in our lifetime?" This parable is not a how-to guide for getting what we want. It is a prompting for how not to despair and lose heart in the face of the injustices and hardships of this world. It's an invitation to find life through the act of persistent prayer as it keeps us in tune with our own hearts and reaches out to the heart of God. So some of you know that the other week I had the opportunity to represent Moore Squared and go out to the GM picket line and stand around with members of, you know, the United Automobile Workers Union. And I was there for about an hour. And in that time, I probably shook hands and exchanged hugs and words with maybe 30 workers, which is a really tiny fraction of the 49,000 workers nationwide that were on strike. And I was there on day 23 of what has been a five-week strike, finally culminating in just the last few days. And I went to offer a word of encouragement and to help lift their spirits. Already struggling to get by on their GM wages and their limited benefits, these workers were now going into their fourth week on an even smaller stipend from the union and from donations from the community. They were managing off of $250 a week, which we know is not enough, right, to pay our rent or our bills or buy food, let alone anything else. But each day, they were back out there, standing in solidarity with one another across multiple states to seek what is fair and what is just, to be persistent in their demand for a living wage from a company that is profiting off their hard work and sacrifice. Now, as I said, I went there to offer encouragement and to stand with them, to affirm them in their request for a fair living. But I left there encouraged and inspired by them. I was inspired by their commitment to their cause and to one another. I was moved by their persistence, by the resolve in their hearts. There was a sense of real camaraderie between them. And their union chaplain spoke to the need to hold fast and to support one another in this time as they ultimately seek what is fair. And despite the struggle that I knew many of them, if not all of them, were facing in their homes, they stood there together, day in and day out, firm in what they believed in their hearts, that they had a right to a livelihood that would provide for themselves and their spouses and their children, something that the upper tiers of their corporation enjoy in gross abundance. And I left with an imprint in my mind of what persistence looks like and how it shapes who we are. What have been some of the persistent prayers in your life? What longings or desires have had such a firm hold on you, have been something you cared about with such great investment that your prayers were as persistent as your breathing? Those persistent prayers, spoken and embodied in our living, shape us. They shape our faith and our trust in God. Even when the prayers are not answered as we had hoped, or have yet not been resolved in our time, something still happens within us. And without prayer, we begin to lose heart. But with prayer, with persistent prayer, we stay close to what is centered in our hearts, and we draw nearer to God. Taylor writes, "You're going to trust the process regardless of what comes of it, because the process itself gives you life." The process keeps you engaged with what matters most to you, so you do not lose heart. There are many things I might have given up on by now if I hadn't continued to approach God about them in prayer. But in returning to God again and again, and persisting about that which matters to us, we find renewed hope. And we find companionship with the divine that can sustain us as we press on. In prayer, we can bring our sorrow and our frustrations and our anger and our impatience and our persistent demand for justice to God. And we are met by the God who is just as persistently seeking after us, who does not slumber or sleep but watches over us day and night. We are met by the God who does not abandon us, but who sits with us in the face of the unjust judges of this earth and restores our hearts when the world around us seeks to crush it. At the end of the parable, Jesus asks if when he returns, he will find faith on earth. Will he find faith that has persisted? Will he find faith living within us? Faith that is relentless, that has persevered, that has held on tight, trusting in the God in whom we live, move, and have our being. Or will we have given up and lost heart? Will we have stopped praying, stopped seeking God persistently? Because when I pray with such persistence, I find that I encounter God as well as myself. I encounter what is at the center of my heart. I encounter a faith that shapes the way that I live. And I encounter God right there with me, holding fast, offering me glimmers of light even when all else seems dark. And I find our hearts intertwined. But when I let loose, when I become less persistent, I begin to lose grasp of what is at my core and what ties me into the one in whom I have my being. I begin to lose hope and heart. So, what is your heart calling out for these days? What prayer is persistent within your spirit, beating like a drum? What do you keep praying for so as to not lose heart? Or maybe what do you need to start praying about so as to not lose heart? This morning we're going to pray. We're going to open into a time of quiet and pray with the persistence that burns within us. And you can pray silently within your own heart, or you can voice that prayer aloud for others to hear you as well and echo it within their core. However you are moved in this time, I invite you to open your heart to God and let yourself be seen and to pray with persistence in your very bones. So get comfortable. And let's enter into a time of quiet. You're welcome to pray silently or to share a prayer with the community.
pray that you give me the strength to move on with my life and gather it and take my lessons as when I teach them. God, I pray for this church and this congregation, for the family that I have found here and the home that I so have looked for. I pray for everybody here with me, and that we may always be happy together.
God, we give thanks for Jesus' teaching that day, to pray always and to not lose heart. Because when we leave these doors, sometimes that's difficult to do. And the world and the stuff of this world can get in the way. But may our prayers always be upon our hearts, upon our lips, within our walking. May they vibrate within our being persistently. May we always come to you and offer them, just as we have in this time. Prayers that are so personal and deep within our being. May we come to you and offer them again and again. The one in whom we find strength and hope. The one in whom we do not lose heart. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.